Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio West, your show for all things kayak fishing in Oregon, Washington, California, and beyond. Now, here's your host, Isaac the Nothing Miller.
Thanks for tuning in to Kayak Fishing Radio West. This is Isaac the Nothing Miller. We've got a good show tonight. We've got a lot of stuff going on here in the Portland area in the next few weeks. Some good tournaments, some good get-togethers, some a little bit of lessons and clinics out there. We're going to talk about all that tonight. While you're listening in, make sure you do so at kayakfishingradio.com. While you're on the website, you can find links to our Twitter and Facebook accounts. You can follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. That way you can keep track of what is going on with all of the Kayak Fishing Radio shows. And there are a lot of them now. I'm hopefully at the end of the show be able to keep track of all of them. Tonight, I've got Nate Olkin on the phone. He is Next Adventure fishing team member, the final one that I haven't gotten on the show until tonight. He's also a member of the Hobie Kayak Fishing Team. Nate, how's it going?
It's going great, Isaac. How are you doing tonight?
Right on. I'm not doing too bad. I'm still cleaning up the mess I left on my computer desk here, thanks to the little bit of beer that ended up all over the computer desk and not in my mouth. And, you know, that's not a good thing to start off with, you know?
Nope, not at all.
So Nate, tell us about yourself. I know you've been fishing here in the Portland area from a kayak for a year or two now. I know you're not from here. You've had a pretty good year this year. You've caught fish I still haven't even caught. Tell us about yourself.
Well, Isaac, yeah, I've been here since last June. I moved here because my wife's a Portland native, and she wanted to move back home. And you know what? It really wasn't a tough choice. The fact there's some big mountains here and some really good fishing was just, it was great. I mean, as soon as she said, I want to move home, I said, yes.
Sweet.
And, before I got out here, I was doing a lot of kayak fishing on the East Coast. I was a pretty active member on New England Kayak Fishing, which is just a New England kayak fishing forum.
Sweet.
Since I got out here, I've been doing a lot of fishing. I mean,
hey.
I'm trying to learn as much as I can, really.
Right on. That's you know, as good a reason as any to end up in the Portland area. So I know this year alone you caught a couple of springers, spring chinook, some of the, you know, the number one target species in at least the Oregon. How hard was it tough to get conditioned to that type of fishing?
Back east, trout fishing was my favorite fishing, and I figured salmon were just bigger trout. So, I mean, I had to up the size of my gear and all, but a lot of the tactics were still the same, just trolling and stuff like that. I mean,
cool.
My first few times out, I got skunked, and nothing even touched it. And then went out with Jammer, also on the Next Adventure and Hobie Kayak Fishing Teams. He showed me some tactics, and after that, just, I was on. I mean, I went I went about a month without getting skunked for salmon, and I have, I think, five on my tag right now.
See, that's not so bad. Not bad at all. You know, I heard stories, generally speaking, that it takes the average person about 200 hours of fishing for a spring chinook before you catch your first one.
Oh, wow.
And I know you're the, you know, folks like you are the reason why that number's so low. I mean, you had it just a couple of days out and you had your first one, whereas myself, I've spent years and still haven't produced a chinook. So, you know, that's the law of averages for you. Someone's got to be real low and someone's got to be real high. And I figure, you know, between the two of us, yeah, it's probably about a 200-hour average.
Yeah, probably.
So, right on.
I mean, really, it comes down to just, I mean, getting the time on the water. And, I mean, I definitely lucked out. I mean, this year the run seemed to come really early, right when I had a lot of free time. And I was just catching fish for a couple weeks straight there. And then all of a sudden just cut off and got skunked a couple times, and then moved on to bass fishing.
Right on. And, yeah, I see you've picked up a couple of bass. I see you've done some kokanee fishing, too.
Yes, I did. I got up to, actually, Timothy Lake early in the season, so there's still snow on the road, and kind of was a little sketchy to get there, but the water was cold, the kokanee were right up on the top, and I was able to just flatline for them. It was really nice.
Nice. That does make things a lot easier, because normally for folks that, you know, that have never done this before or looked into kokanee fishing, kokanee are landlocked salmon, sockeye salmon, if I remember correctly, and they are deep normally, trolling depths, minimum of 60 feet. A lot of the lakes in Oregon that hold kokanee, you're going to be running a downrigger ball 100, 120 feet deep, at least in the really deep lakes. So being able to flatline them just like that off the back of the kayak, that's pretty awesome. That's good timing for sure.
Yeah, that was really me being like, I really want to catch a kokanee for Angler of the Year points. When can I do it? And it was cold water right after ice out, so yeah. I went and I jumped on it as soon as I found out that the road was passable.
That's awesome. Yeah, I don't recall too many kokanees showing up on the Northwest Kayak Anglers Angler of the Year tournament all that regularly. I think there's only been a couple in the last few years, so that is awesome. So you're from the East Coast. You've done a lot of fishing out there.
Yes, I have.
What do you miss? What do you miss of East Coast fishing that we don't have here in the Northwest?
Well, what I miss the most, I miss stripers. Like, that was it. I mean, I would, in the winter, in the cold months, I'd fish trout, and then summertime, I'd be on the ocean catching striped bass, and there's just something about them that, I mean, I love them. Like, they're just kind of like bulldogs. They just put their heads down and pull and pull and pull, and yeah, it was just great.
So do they pull more than a cabazon?
Different than a cabazon.
Different
their
pull.
Cabazons,
okay,
seem to pull down. These guys,
right,
they pull out. Like, they make
they're
some
runners,
big, powerful runs. Yep.
Gotcha. So that's cool. Now, you know, in contrast, what type of fishing have you found here in the Northwest that you didn't have on the East Coast that you just love?
Actually, if it wasn't for the fact that I get a little seasick sometimes, I would love fishing for rockfish and just jigging out in the ocean. Back east, I used to love jigging for flounder. And this is the same thing, basically same techniques, but on a much bigger scale. And it's just fun.
All right. Fair enough. That's cool. You know, that's, and, you know, the near shore saltwater fishing here is, as you've learned, is really where it's at when it's kayak fishing. I mean, it's solitude out on the saltwater, some tasty fish, some good sized fish.
Oh, very tasty fish.
And very, I mean, it really is easy fishing, you know?
Oh, it is. It's basically, if you want to put meat in the freezer, you head out in the ocean, you're almost guaranteed to catch something.
That is, yeah. I know I have yet to be skunked. I've had some slow days where there was only, you know, two fish caught on the day, maybe three.
Yep.
But, I mean, otherwise, it's awesome. Awesome fishing on the Oregon coast. Washington coast the same way. California's similar. They use a lot different tactics, though. It's a little bit different on, you know, they get some warmer waters. They got some different fish. But from what I understand, it's still a very similar fishing to the Oregon coast. So, Nate, I know
Before you go any further, one thing actually that's really cool about the Oregon coast that I'm not used to is you're out there bottom fishing, and you can have whales come up, dolphins, seals and sea lions all around you.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. I mean, you could really have a bad day fishing, even get skunked, and you're probably going to see some sort of wildlife out there, and it's just going to blow your mind.
Oh, yeah. There's a ton of wildlife out there. You know, I know the first time I went out at Depot Bay. I didn't even get to the first buoy at Depot Bay, and a whale had passed behind me.
Oh, wow.
You know, wow, that was really cool. Of course, porpoises sneak up on me all the time. They try to spook me. You never see them coming at all, and then they'll just breach right next to you, take a quick breath of air, and dive right back down. That always trips me out, because I'm usually out there by myself. It's dead quiet. I'm just having a good time, and then you got this big, you know, porpoise next to you taking a breath of air, and it kind of startles your calm, you know?
Oh, it definitely does.
Yeah, it's something different. Hey, before we keep going, let me chime in here for folks that are listening to the show. If you got a question to Nate, if you got a, maybe you've been out fishing here recently, you got a little something to say, give us a call here on the show. You can join us live. Phone number's 714-816-4727. Likewise, you can go to kayakfishingradio.com, hop into the chat room, ask your questions on the chat room, and I can relay them to Nate here on the air. Makes it real easy. And, of course, Nate's, you know, as you've heard, he's fished East Coast. He's fished West Coast. He's fished freshwater in between, so he's got some good stories. I know he does. So Nate, you actually work at the Next Adventure Paddle Sports Center here in Portland, Oregon.
Yep, that is correct.
Which is probably the awesomest store here in Portland. I was at the outdoor retailer show the other week. I met everybody there. I had actually never met Deke prior to the show. But Brian was there. The new paddle sports manager was there, whose name I don't recall.
Jake,
yes. Sorry. Thank you. Jake was there. And I know there was plenty of other guys from Next Adventure. But as far as the paddle sports go, those guys were there. And I couldn't speak highly enough to all the different vendors that I, you know, at the show. Because Next Adventure is really the only place in Portland that is catered to the kayak anglers. They've got all the rigging gear that you would need for your kayak. If you don't have a rudder on your kayak, you want a rudder on your kayak, yeah, you can buy one online. Or you can just go to the Next Adventure Paddle Sports Center. You need some rivets, go to Next Adventure. You need some new pad eyes, go to Next Adventure. So I love the store. You guys have a lot of stuff coming up this year. You got a bunch of stuff coming up just in the next month.
Oh, we do. Deke and Brian, the owners, they both really like kayak fishing. I think they both are fishermen, so they love kayak fishing, so they give us a lot of freedom to go out and do events. So this upcoming month, or in the next little over a month, we have three events coming up. The first one is going to be August 22nd, which Jeff, who was on the show, I guess, earlier, he's going to be giving a clinic, kind of kayak fishing 101.
Great.
I think he's gonna focus on bass fishing, just because we are having a bass fishing tournament coming up as well.
Correct.
Yep, the next event that we're going to be putting on is, I believe it's Sunday, August 28th, and it's going to be the Next Adventure Beach Day, which is going to be a lot of surf clinics and everything, and there's a surf clinic, so there's going to be some free food there, and hopefully if the weather's not too bad, or the surf isn't too bad, actually, we're going to be able to go out and actually do some fishing as well.
See, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yep.
Let's start off with the kayak fishing 101. I did have Jeff on the show just, I think it was the same week as his first clinic, kind of pumping that up. That first clinic, for those of you that didn't attend, was great. Packed house. How many people were at that clinic? Do you know?
No, I don't know. I was on vacation that week.
Okay, that's right. It was a full house. It was great. Standing room only. If you come out to Kayak Fishing 101 at Next Adventure next week, bring a camp chair with you. There's a lot of chairs. There's a lot of chairs there, but definitely ran out. Like I said, it was standing room only. Are we still going to have pizza?
I believe so. I think we're going to have pizza and probably some adult beverages as well.
Pizza and adult beverage, and it's free.
Yes, it is.
Excellent. So, of course, that's, you know, Next Adventure Paddle Sports Center here in Portland, and that's next Monday, right? Yeah, Monday's the 22nd.
Monday the 22nd.
So sweet, and that's 7 o'clock?
I believe it can start somewhere between 7 and 8 and probably run until 9.
Sweet. Yeah, that was, you know, like I said, I was at the first one. It was really great. I know there were a lot of guys that were at the clinic that, you know, were either very new to kayak fishing. Actually, we had the whole spectrum there. There were guys that were brand new to kayak fishing. There are guys that have been kayak fishing for several months, still pretty new, but still also at the same time pretty well experienced as far as fishing in the Northwest between Oregon and Washington. And then there were a lot of old salts there, a lot of guys that have been kayak fishing for years. So that was a really good show, like I said, or good clinic, just because there was a lot of experience. Of course, Jeff has a ton of experience. He's been kayak fishing for years between Oregon and California. It was real cool to see him bring out his kayak and all the rigging. And, of course, talk about fishing. The only thing better than, or almost as good as fishing, is at least talking about it. So,
yes, it is.
Yeah, he had a lot of good information. Now,
I said, this one's going to be very similar to that, and I do expect, once again, that same crowd. I mean, we've had a lot of people come in the store who are, they fished before but never kayak fish, who are really interested in learning about kayak fishing here in the Northwest. So, yeah, it definitely should be a good crowd. I mean, if you're a beginner, feel free to come. I mean, there's probably going to be a lot of other beginners there, and there's going to be a lot of old salts to help you on your way.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah, that's, you know, you can find out all the information about the Kayak Fishing 101 on the Next Adventure website. They've got a link on the left-hand side for fishing or paddling classes, and the link's there for that. I know it's also been posted as an event over at yakangler.com, and there's a big thread going on the forums over at northwestkayakanglers.com. So plenty of ways to find information about the Kayak Fishing 101 Clinic. It's going to be a good time, that's for sure. I know, like I said, I'm going to go back just because I know I haven't been fishing for quite a while since. So I can use the little updated intel that Jeff might provide. So the beach party. I just learned about this today from you. Tell me more about this beach party. This sounds pretty awesome.
It should be pretty awesome. So every year, Next Adventure puts on a beach day, which is basically just to teach people how to surf in their kayaks and stuff. And this year, because we have a kayak fishing team, we thought it would be really good to actually go into a clinic on how to launch your fishing kayak in the surf and how to land in the surf. So we're going to have, I mean, it's a full-day event running from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., I mean, it's going to have everything for all kayakers in general, like longboat surf clinics, shortboat surf clinics, which are actually truly surfing. The Surf Zone Kayak Fishing Clinic, which is how to go out and come back in through the surf. There is going to be a surf contest, so anybody can join that. It should be pretty funny, actually. And then we're going to have a grill and an oyster bake as well. And all of this is free, so anybody can just come on down.
Right on. And, of course, that's at Ecola State Park, which is on the coast.
Yep, and it's at Indian Beach in Ecola State Park.
Okay, at Indian Beach. Yeah, it is a big park, so good to know it's at the beach. And I've seen some of these videos of guys surfing on their kayaks. And they're paddling out. They turn around. It's just like you're sitting basically inside of a surfboard. It's pretty crazy. So I know you guys are doing a lot of stuff about that, right?
Yes, we are. That's something that two of the guys who work at the shop, including Brian, the current manager, he's a big surf kayaker. So, I mean, this is what some of those guys live for, is heading out in the surf.
Right on.
It should definitely be a good day out there.
Right on. See, now that tells me I need to bring out my little Trident 11. Pretty decent in the surf, especially with some thigh straps. Get throw that thing around quite a bit. There's other ocean kayak, the Frenzy, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
Yeah, the Frenzy was supposed to be a surf kayak.
Yep, it's a pretty high volume surf kayak.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. So yeah, I see there's a couple of things on the schedule here. There's a longboat surf clinic. That's for, I'm assuming, for sea kayaks and recreationals?
Yep, that's for sea kayaks.
Okay.
That's sea
right on. There's the intro to the surf zone in your fishing kayak. That'll be interesting for sure.
That should be.
And are you running any of these by chance? Or?
I'm not running in them. I need all the help I can with surf landings and surf launching. I'm a hoobie master.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, that intro to surf zone in the fishing kayaks, very important. Fishing kayaks, if you've not been out in the surf before, fishing kayaks, because they're wider, because they're sit on tops, and because of hull design, they go through the surf quite a bit differently than sea kayaks, recreational kayaks, or the recreational sit on tops, and the surf skis and the surf kayaks. So that's a very good, that'll be a very interesting, at the very least, to check out that little clinic that they're going to have at the beach day.
It's
and
a
of
really
course,
fun time.
Yeah. And then there's the oyster bake. That's awesome. My name's all over that. I love oysters. I don't care how they're prepared. They can be fresh out of the sand. I don't care. I love oysters. If you're not into oysters, I'm sure you guys are going to have some other things to eat, right?
Oh, yeah, we'll probably have burgers and dogs as well, and just the regular barbecue fare.
Right on. And then there's the surf competition for guys that want to go out, show off in the surf. They're going to have judges out there. Best ride, sickest wipeout. Hey, you could enter that one.
Oh, I have a good chance of winning that one.
There you go. There we go. The sickest wipeout. Illest style. So just guys that are throwing out some good tricks, I'm assuming.
Type of thing.
And the most effort. And, of course, if you're on a sit-on-top kayak, there's going to be a lot of effort dealing with the surf, so that's going to be pretty cool. Right on. That does sound like a good time. I've got Sundays off now. So that's Sunday.
Fun.
Yeah, Sunday, August the 28th, Ecola State Park here in Oregon. It's, I don't know how to say you can't miss it, but it's just north of Cannon Beach, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, just north of Cannon Beach. Real easy to get there from Portland. Take Highway 26 out till you hit 101. When you get to 101, hang a left. You'll get there. I did a beach cleanup out there a couple of years ago. Beautiful country. I think this is going to be a good little show there.
It should be. And if the surf lays down at all, I believe there are some rocks offshore, so there is definitely potential to go fishing.
There is a lot of structure out there. I do have to double-check my maps from ODFW, because I think some of those are protected areas.
Right.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that, but there is plenty of other fishing to be had out there as well. How cool would that be? Go out in the morning, catch some fish, bring it in, throw it on the grill.
That would be great.
There you go. Of course, that'll be right there on the beach. You can't get any fresher than that. That'll be a good time. And that's just 2 weeks away, more or less. It's the 28th of this month. Then you've got the Bass Yakking event.
Yes, we do. That is going to kind of try to be our premier fishing tournament that Next Adventure sponsors.
Right on.
And this event, it's designed for everyone, from the seasoned yak fisherman to the person in the wreck boat who's fished before and wants to go out and try. I mean, with bass fishing, the weather's warm, and generally speaking, the fish are easy to catch compared to a lot of the other fish in this area. So, I mean, yeah, it should be a really good time. Everyone's welcome to join in.
Yeah.
And,
yep. Yeah, that is September 17th.
Yes,
right?
It is.
Yep. It's $20 to get in. It's a good,
mm-hmm.
which is a good, reasonable fee for any fishing tournament. A lot cheaper than some, about the same price as the others. So, good deal going on there. Tell us more about the tournament. What's some of the things to look out for?
Well, so this tournament, I mean, like I was saying, it's a bass fishing tournament. It's open to everybody. And to try to encourage people up in Washington to fish as well, we've put a 50-mile, any publicly accessible water within 50 miles of the Next Adventure Paddle Sports Center is open to fishing. And that means that you can fish up in Washington, you can fish in Oregon. I mean, and there's a lot of really good bass-holding water within 50 miles of Portland. So hopefully there'll be some nice big fish measured in for the tournament.
That is awesome. Yeah, and actually there's a ton of good fishing water. I mean, a 50-mile radius of the Next Adventure Paddle Sports Store puts you in some of the most prime bass fishing waters in Portland. In the Northwest, for that matter. I mean, you've got, for one, you've got Hag Lake. It's on the fringe, but Hag Lake definitely falls within the 50-mile radius of the store.
Yeah, we made sure of that.
Yeah, and that's 50 miles as the crow flies, or are we talking by driving distance?
As the crow flies.
As the crow flies. So, yeah, Hag Lake's only 35 miles away as the crow flies. And yeah. Hag Lake, of course, has produced two, if not three, of the last state records for smallmouth bass for Oregon. So, phenomenal fishery. Up in Washington, 50 miles, that gives you Lake Merwin, which has everything in the world in that lake. There's tiger muskies, there's cokes, kokanee, but of course there's also a ton of bass in that lake. That's also gives you Silver Lake. Ooh, Silver Lake in Southwest Washington is also a phenomenal bass fishery. Some of the best bass fishing in Washington is in Silver Lake. There's actually several bass fishing guides at Silver Lake. That's how good the bass fishing is in Silver Lake. I think that one just barely makes the 50-mile range. I think it ends up being about 40 miles. Like I said, that's a phenomenal lake on the Washington side. Of course, you've got the Willamette River in Portland. The Columbia is... Both of those have great bass fishing. So there's a lot of good options. The unfortunate part was that whole publicly accessible thing.
Yes, it is. I wanted to throw that in there to eliminate any little farm ponds or just somebody's little private pond where they know there's giant bass sitting in it.
Yeah. That's all right, because I know, last year they drained Lake Oswego, so there's no fish left in there anyway. All the Lake Oswego monsters are in the Willamette now, so that's fine. We can get over that. All those little pond bass, though. I knew a few, but all right. Publicly accessible waters, 50 miles from the store. So that's still a ton of tremendous waters. Man, I don't even quite know where I'm going to start. At least that's what I'm going to say for now. I think I got a good idea of where I'm going, but that could easily change. So, and this is a catch, photograph, and release tournament, right?
Yes, it is. Being on kayaks, you don't really have the opportunity to keep fishing alive well. So. Mm-hmm. The only way to do it without making this a kill tournament, which I really didn't want to do, is catch, measure, photo, and release. And all the photos need to have an identifier in them so we know it was for the tournament. And, yeah, first place and or all the top finishers will be based on the biggest fish in pictures. And if there's a tie, we just drop down to the second fish that they caught, the third fish, and so on. And
right
so we
on.
Can eventually break the tie.
That's awesome. You know, this is the catch photograph release is a practice used in tournaments throughout the U.S., but this is the first time it's been done in the Pacific Northwest. So that's awesome. Yeah.
Well, it's not the
course.
First time. We did it for the Sturgeon tournament only because ODSW
right.
kept on switching the seasons on us.
That's a good point. But. That's a very good point. But that one was not strictly catch photograph release.
That's true.
Yeah. If you, somebody walked in with a legal keep, it would have worked, right?
It would have. As long as they caught it on the Columbia.
Yep, exactly. On the Columbia. There were no fish in the Columbia that day. Don't ask me how I know. But there weren't. That's unfortunate. That's awesome. So tell me a little bit more how the catch, photograph, and release portion of the tournament works. How do guys do that?
All right. So for the catch, photo, release, pretty much what you have to do is once you catch your fish, we're going to ask that you measure it on a rigid measuring board. So, like the Northwest Kayak Anglers, I know they have fish measuring boards available, but you can get them at pretty much any sporting goods store as well. Just a rigid fish measuring board. And so all you have to do is take a picture of that fish on the board, showing its total length, and it has to have an identifier that we're going to give you the day of the tournament. Has to be included in the picture, as does part of your kayak as well.
Right on.
And that's and then from there, you'll be able to bring in your camera to the shop. We'll upload on a computer and... we'll record everybody's fish, and then
right
whoever has the biggest fish is going to win.
That's a great way to do it. I've participated in catch, photograph, and release tournaments in the past, namely the Georgia Kayak Anglers Kayak Fishing Tournament Trail the other year in on Lake Harding, Georgia. Same thing, you know. They had everyone that signed up got a flexible measuring device, but we also had tokens, and that token was the identifier, and that had to be in every single picture, just like this one. Part of your kayak has to be showing. That way, we know that you're sitting on your kayak for one, that you're not cheating. That token shows that it was caught during the tournament time because you don't have enough time to go fishing with that token beforehand, and then of course the measuring device to keep track of the size. So that's a great way to do it.
Definitely is. I actually got the idea from the striper shootout that I used to fish over in Massachusetts, which I'm going to throw a plug out for them. That's this weekend out of Salem, Massachusetts. It's probably the premier striper fishing or kayak striper fishing tournament in the Northeast.
Okay.
So. Yeah, I basically got my idea for that, for the catch, photo, release, and how the rules were all set up from that tournament.
Excellent. First, I heard about the, I think I've heard about the tournament before. I'm pretty sure I heard about it last year. I hadn't heard about it this year though. Do you know any more details about that? Maybe we can shout out just in case anyone on the East Coast is listening.
Yeah, well, I don't know the details. Since moving here, I haven't paid quite as much attention to the Striper Shootout, but it's put on by New England Kayak Fishing. It's based out of, I think it's Winter Harbor, or Winter Island in Salem, Massachusetts, and it's a catch photo, striper release, catch photo and release striper tournament. And they do,
right.
I think, a 30-mile radius from the tournament headquarters.
Not bad. That's...
Nope, it usually brings in people from all over the East Coast, and occasionally some West Coast folks show up as well.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. I think I wanted to go to that last year. It was 2 years ago that I wanted to go to that because I wanted to catch a striper. That was it. That's all I wanted to do was catch a striper.
Fun. Like I think next summer when I plan my vacation to go back home to visit my folks, it's going to be right around tournament time just so I can
Perfect.
Get in and do some fishing. Yep.
Perfect. All right. We got some prizes for the Bass Classic, the Bass Yakin Classic. Right.
Yep.
We got some trophies.
We do have some trophies. Because we're doing it catch photo release, there is potential for cheating. I mean, it happens. So what we're doing is trophies are going to go to the top three finishers, and all the prizes that we get from sponsors are going to be raffled off. So this way, everybody has an equal chance of coming home with a big prize. I mean, you could get skunked, but you could wind up leaving with the best prize there.
Right on. That sounds awesome to me. It's going to be real difficult to cheat, and I don't think anyone. I'm pretty trustworthy of most of these guys that I know through the Northwest Kayak Anglers, so I don't see that there's, you know, any of those guys are going to cheat. But hey,
I don't see it either.
It's always good knowing that I don't have to perform at my, you know, with the fish to come home with an awesome prize.
That's very true. You could get skunked and have a horrible day fishing, yet still come home with a really nice prize, which is great.
That'll put a smile on anybody's face, even if you don't come home with a big fish. That's pretty cool. Well, hey Nate, thanks for joining me on the show tonight. Do you have any other sponsors? I know we mentioned Hobie Fishing Team briefly, the Next Adventure Fishing Team. You have shout-outs for anyone else out there?
No, that's all I got for now. We're still working on sponsors for the tournament, but we're going to have a couple lined up. We're going to have some decent prizes.
Cool.
Yep.
I might know a few folks that are interested. I'll make sure that they get a hold of you, and maybe we can get some more stuff in there.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Hey, for everyone out there listening, don't forget to check out our other kayak fishing radio shows throughout the week. Monday nights, 8 o'clock Eastern, that's 5 o'clock Pacific, is Redfish Chuck representing Florida. Tuesdays with Rob A. Bad Backcast DeVore. He's the other half in Florida doing the other coast. He's on Tuesdays, like I said, 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern. Wednesdays, Mark Landing Crew Wheeler does the Mid-Atlantic show covering South Carolina. He's an awesome guy. Definitely check into that show. 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. And Wednesdays, again, 8 Eastern to 5 o'clock Pacific. That is our roundtable show. We got guys East Coast, West Coast, everywhere in between. A lot of times we get Dennis Spike from California on that show. Always a good time if Dennis Spike is around. The Spiker knows how to talk about fishing. Of course, he's been kayak fishing for a couple of decades now. So always good to listen in. Nate, thanks for being on the show tonight, telling us about what's going on there at Next Adventure. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me, Isaac.
It's my pleasure. Everyone else, thanks for listening in. Don't forget, you can find us on Facebook and on Twitter. You can find those links on kayakfishingradio.com. That's all for now. This is Isaac the Nothing Miller. Talk to you all next week.